from the heart of the Forest City, this is a Craig Needles podcast brought to you by Lexus of London. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
It is the Craig Needles podcast. It is the Friday roundtable here on ClassicRock981.com, LondonNewsToday.ca, and of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast. We are joined in the studio today for conversation about the top stories of the week by Jesse Roger, who of course is the executive director at Inova, political insider Shobhita Sharma, former city councilor Hollywood Cheryl Miller. Hello, everybody. Thank you for being here.
Hello. Women rule, men drool.
Yeah, today, I guess, but that's all right. Let's get down to business. On speaking of women, there are some people that are apparently not big fans of women. We call them incels, and apparently Pierre Poilievre kind of likes them. So in his videos, the folks over at Global News have uncovered there were some hidden hashtags, some hidden search terms. So if you looked for these terms on YouTube, or if you'd watched videos with these terms in them, Pierre Poilievre videos would come up. So it was MGTOW, men going their own way, was the hashtag, which sounds relatively innocuous until you look at what that hashtag is associated with. We are talking incels. We are talking violence against women. We are talking just rampant misogyny. So this is a group that Pierre Poilievre was clearly trying to secretly appeal to. What does that say about his leadership? What does that say about the situation the Conservative Party of Canada finds himself in right now? And whoever wants that one first is happy.
Well, first of all, let me tell you, I haven't a clue what that was. I had to look it up. I felt stupid.
I didn't know either.
And quite frankly, I find it very doubtful that he did that. I think someone else did it. But if he owns up to it, if he did do it and he owns up to it, then he'll recoup some of his loss. But the whole problem in my mind is that we're into shit stepping, shoe scraping politics that were brought about by Trump. I mean, Trump's mantra is if you step in the shit, wipe it off quick. So we're in that whole situation of awful, ugly politics everywhere. And I've been involved in federal campaigns since free trade, so it ages me well. But it's a horrible climate out there, and if he's doing it and he owns up to it, I might consider it. But if he's, like, all this defensives, they're all of them defensive. Trudeau, Poilievre, and Jagmeet Singh. I don't know. I think it's a terrible time to be a politician.
What I don't like about it is that it's sneaky. That was sneaky. Meta tags are sneaky. And the fact that I did not hear an apology from him.
No.
There wasn't a, oh, I'm sorry, I did not know this was happening, and I'll take corrective action. It was like, we'll deal with it. So there was a bit of arrogance and kind of like, I'm gonna thump my, well, I'm just going to walk away from this and not own it, not have an apology. But here's the thing. If someone on your team was doing it, you're still responsible for it, in my opinion.
I agree.
It's the Randy Warren rule.
Yeah, the Randy Warden rule is a good rule.
You're responsible for your own team.
Yeah. Yep.
And the fact that you had someone like that on your team who was putting these meta tags in your videos, you have to have another look at your team. You have to have a look at who is supporting you, what's the base, and who are you appealing to?
Well, we already know that. We already know that from already seeing some of the work that he's been doing and the communities that he's been pandering to in the last, few months. And I think, apologies and sort of acknowledging when you've done wrong is really important. But I'm of the space where I'm really interested in action in this province. In the last 60 days, we've had 16 women be murdered by intimate partner violence. I'm over the conversations. I'm over we'll do, but I don't want to hear it anymore. What's the plan? What's Pierre Poilievre's plan to address gender-based violence in this country? That would have been a really great space to talk about that, and it was a missed opportunity.
I'm totally fine with, okay, he didn't personally put those meta tags in there. I'm sure that's true. As we've all said, that if someone on your team does it, you're accountable for it. You've got to own it. But someone on the team obviously thought, hey, this is going to be a good way to get views on our videos amongst people who may be willing to vote for us, is we put this meta tag in there of the hope that, hey, someone who just watched, pick one of the incel, I'm not going to name the one here, but pick one of the incel channels. Hey, this might be the next suggested video that comes along with that. So the fact that this is where you're farming for votes, that is really troubling to me.
Yeah.
That is really troubling to me.
They're all farming for votes.
Oh, of course. Fringe. But it's where are you farming?
All of them. It's so messy. The whole thing's messy anymore.
Do you think that this winds up mattering to the Conservatives' election fortunes, hypothetically, in 2025, maybe sooner? Or is it something that is in the news cycle for the rest of today, and then we have a long weekend, everybody forgets about it? Where do you think this stands? Because I would suspect that if you're Justin Trudeau and company, you're going to want to paint Pierre Poilievre as a radical. That's got to be your plan here. Is this going to work?
If you're on the side of women, if you're on the side of ending gender-based violence, I'd say dig in. There'll be more stuff. There has to be more. If there was this, there has to be something else as well. So, I mean, given that we are in a 24-hour news cycle, I worry that this is going to be just one of the many things that happens. But if it's one of the many things that happens in terms of where Pierre Poilievre is and the Conservatives honestly are looking for votes, then there has to be more. There has to be more to the story. There has to be something else.
As a Conservative, I can tell you that's never going to happen. If that happens, they're going to lose too many old-time Conservatives who vote, who work for the party, and who donate. So my advice to them is step up to the plate, because as a woman, you owe me an explanation. You owe all of us. You owe my children, my grandchildren. So if they don't step up, they've lost my donation and my time. Big deal, I guess.
Yeah, well, I see, here's the thing, though. There are going to be people like you, and if there's enough of them, all of a sudden that does become a big deal for them. So I'm fascinated to see that, because, and I've said this on the podcast many times, I'm going to say it one more time. If you're Pierre Poilievre and you cannot get votes in the 905, in suburban Vancouver, and in suburban Montreal, you've got to fold up shop now. You're not going to win. You are not going to win. So if you cannot get people to mark X's next to your candidates' names in those places, you will never be prime minister. And that's something that he has to be operating in the service of, basically in perpetuity between now and the next election. This is not a good start for that, because those are places that you are more likely to get burned on something like this. I want to talk about a local campaign situation, and people might have seen the video, and it's kind of gone viral, and we don't need to play it here, but it was all over Reddit. Councillor Michael Van Holst in Ward 1 knocks on a door. The woman asks him, hey, are you the anti-vax guy in council? He kind of hems and haws over that for a second. She says to him, get expletived, effed, and closes the door. A lot of people share that. A lot of people are saying, oh, this is funny, ha, ha, ha. A lot of people saying, this is harsh, this is mean. There's a lot of different opinions about that, but do you think that this is just sort of the reality of politics in 2022, where sometimes people are going to say mean stuff? Shobha, you knock on a lot of doors. Has anyone ever told you to do that and slam the door?
No, I've had like a lot of interesting things happen to me when I've knocked on doors, not gonna lie, but that's never happened. But as somebody who knocks on doors a lot for a number of different campaigns, provincial, municipal, federal, and I have done that for a while now, what I can say is that, okay, I do not subscribe to Council Van Holst's ideas and ideologies and all of that stuff, but as a canvasser, it hit a little bit close to heart to me, for me, because I was like, the person could have just like not opened the door at all. I don't know what was achieved off of that except for a viral video.
Like, maybe that was the goal.
Did it matter to the counselor? Probably not. He was like, meh, I've heard this before, and probably walked away.
But had it happened to
a canvasser or like a volunteer, I would have felt a lot worse.
I don't think she would have done it to a volunteer.
But
I think she was making a point to him.
But like, but what was the point?
The point was, I'm mad about your anti-vax stuff at Leonard City Hall.
That's it. That's her
if
writing.
If that's her point, I don't want to argue with her. I think it's fair to be mad about that.
It's my house, my rules, you're at my house. And she actually asked him to step back, if you noticed that. And he did, and he looked very dismayed about stepping back. But this is just reflective of what I talked about is the Trump politics. You're seeing this locally. You're seeing burnt signs. You're seeing stolen signs. You're seeing vandalized signs. That's a symptom of what's going on in politics in Canada and United States. Mm-hmm. And Van Hollen say, I mean, you're a candidate, you get what you get.
Jesse, your thoughts on that video?
It would be very hard for a volunteer canvasser to get that. But I also think it's indicative of how people are feeling right now. A lot of people are exhausted. They're tired. They're angry.
Yeah.
And so when you're presented with a candidate who has sort of touted some things that perhaps were harmful to you, your family, your community, you might get an unfiltered moment, right? And I think it's a tricky spot, but that's rough, but
you got to be
prepared for some of that anger. And I think as a candidate, there's obviously a line and a boundary that you want to have, but was I surprised?
No.
I'd mean
no. And you know, as a candidate, the worst thing I ever had, which I hated, was come in for tea or coffee, because you always know that you have to stay there for half an hour, wasted all that time in the doors. So I learned I'll be back once I'm elected. I'll bring the coffee.
Yeah. I'll bring the coffee.
You're not going to hold me up.
You better vote for me, otherwise I'm not coming back. You mentioned, Jesse, and I think you're right, people are angry. People are pissed off about a lot of different things. And all over the political spectrum, people are mad about a lot of different things. What do you think voter turnout winds up being for this upcoming municipal election? Like, we're talking like 20s, right? You know, I was talking to someone who is, I would say, pretty well-known and well-versed in politics, and I'm not going to attribute this comment to this person. His bet is 25.
Yeah.
And this is not a candidate in municipal election, but this is someone who has been an election candidate in the past. He thinks 25.
Wow. I'm thinking 28.
28?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like, it is going to be a low voter turnout. Yeah. And it's sad because, to your point, people are tired.
Yeah.
We've had a number of elections in the past year and a half. And what was that thing in 2020? Pandemic, right. Yeah. Right. People are just exhausted. People need to live their lives. However, I think it's so important to vote. Like, people are dying around the world because they can't vote, because they're fighting for their rights to vote. And we have that here. And if I could encourage, like, one more person to vote, I would do that, because this, at the end of the day, like, it's about your city. It's about the people who represent you. It's about the people who are going to make decisions for your
You're
city for the next 4 years. I know, but it's so hard.
Yeah.
But I'm going to keep trying.
Yeah, but you know what? It's symptom of what's going on in the whole world. Everything. People want. There's no funny. There's no humor. Humor and funny have died 2 years ago.
I want to talk about a couple other topics as we sort of go through rapid fire, because I have a bunch of stuff I want to talk about. First, I do remind you that the Craig Needles podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Lexus of London. Lifestyle with a drive. Your new Lexus is patiently waiting at Lexus of London. It's luxury to find, and you can find them at 1065 Warrencliffe Road South and online at lexusoflondon.com.
Tell them I'm coming.
I will tell them that Cheryl is on the way.
New car.
Yeah, let's get new cars. Let's talk about the issues over at Pillar. And I posted a story on londonnewstoday.ca yesterday where people can go take a look. And what we're seeing now is there are some people in the community who want to hold a general meeting. And at that general meeting, they are prepared to get 2/3 of voting members to vote out members of the board at Pillar Nonprofit. This is in the wake of the firing of Mojde Cox, who was the CEO there. A lot of people still angry about that. A lot of people still wondering why the board has handled it in the fashion that they have. This is a difficult story for a lot of folks. Your reaction to the push for the general meeting at Pillar, and the reason I talk about it is because this is a huge deal. Pillar's a big thing in the nonprofit industry. And I want to ask Jesse about that. Jesse knows that as well as anybody does. Jesse, your reaction to this letter and what's going on at Pillar as we sort of continue to see this news evolve over the years.
My reaction to the letter is my name, I signed the letter.
Okay.
So full disclosure, Anova is a member of Pillar. And, you know, I have a lot of questions and I haven't received many answers. And my questions are not about the confidential HR decisions. That's not, I don't get to know about that.
No.
But I do get to know about an organization that I pay membership dues to, who is responsible for demonstrating and leading when it comes to nonprofit support and good governance. And I think it's fair to ask questions. And I think this piece for me, it's around accountability and it's around inviting people to have a conversation. And unfortunately, it's not been as successful as I would have hoped. Pillar has been a really important organization in this community, especially for nonprofits and especially over the last 2.5 years. There have been so many of us who Pillar was the one that supported, especially executive directors, and in such a lonely, scary time. And I'm worried about where I'm going to find that support. And I think it's an okay question to ask. Say, hey, we need to have a conversation about this, and I'm concerned. I've looked to Pillar for a really long time for leadership around governance. I've sent board members to get trained at Pillar. I'm hesitating now, and so I think I have more. I have questions that I think deserve to be answered. Yeah.
I think that those questions need to be answered too. And I don't think you're the only one. I think a lot of executive directors at nonprofits around this community, a lot of board members at nonprofits around this community are wondering about the same stuff you're wondering about right now. So I don't know how it turns out. Show, but your thoughts is
that was that was what I thought about. That was exactly what I was thinking about. Like, I don't think it's about the talk around the board or what the confidential matters were, but I my mind immediately went to the small not-for-profits, and it's a huge sector here in London, and the distraction that this is causing them in all of the other things that they've been involved with Pillar with, for example, the training.
Yeah.
So that's who I thought about first.
Yeah. I wonder if the folks on the Pillar board have taken the Pillar How to Be on a Board training. These are the sorts of things that I wonder about. I don't know the answer to that, but I may look into that.
Well, I think what they're sucking all the oxygen out of the organization. And in fact, then it splashes onto all the organizations that pay their way. Now, I'm of the mind that the only way you can control this is withhold your dues. If the board does not receive the money and you're penalizing the employees, I understand that. But the board doesn't get the message. There's something wrong in this organization, and it's their responsibility. They have the fiduciary responsibility. They have the policy response. They have the oversight of the whole organization. They need to address it. Mm-hmm. So if they're not listening to memberships, then you don't give them money.
Yeah, and I think that's when you have an organization like Pillar that has a membership model as it does, you also have to be prepared for when this stuff will crop up. Mm-hmm. And my impression, my assessment is I don't think they were. Like, I wonder if they knew what would happen if membership organizations and boards of member organizations were going to take issue with a bit of a question around direction or mission. So
here's what I would say about their situation is just the board must have badly misread the green here, because I just don't think they were prepared for the blowback they were going to get after Moj Dacox was fired. Because if they were, they did a very lousy job battening down the hatches. I just don't think they thought they were going to get questioned. I thought people are just like, okay, that's fine, and move along. That is not what went down, obviously. So I think they must have been surprised by that.
Well, I think they knew, because they said they had a communication plan that didn't work.
Right.
So they knew they had needed a communication plan, and it didn't work, or they didn't work.
Get your ducks in a row is the lesson there. Yeah. Last thing before we wrap up, Cheryl, I want to ask you real quick, 20th anniversary of Budweiser Gardens. It's probably hard to believe for you. It's been 20 years since that all went down. There were plans to make this a 4,000 or 5,000 seat rink.
Maximum 5.
And some people wanted it out by the 401.
Oh, God, yes. They wanted it where the old ice house was.
Yeah. You wanted it downtown and it'd be 9,000 seats.
Yeah. You're 10.
Yeah.
10.
So, oh, you wanted 10. Okay. Yeah. So you and Gore didn't quite get what you wanted. So it was you and Gore at Hume that were kind of driving the bus there that wanted to get what we have today into that spot.
Rudely driving the bus.
That sounds like something you'd
yes,
do.
Because when you hold your breath at a meeting until you get your way, it doesn't work. But what works is developing a plan with a budget and taking it before council and saying, this is what we need. And you can see the success. And you can see the amount of people that have been there.
It's amazing.
I've had seats ever since it opened up because I knew it would be successful. The only thing that we had that makes me laugh is Sandy Levin moved a motion that we have blackout drapes that we had to have for those, and they actually rotted before we ever used them.
Well, the thought was that the Knights were never going to, we're only going to sell 4,000 seats a night. They were never going to sell the top bowl.
That's right.
That is not how, yeah, he was off by about 5,000 people.
Oh my God. You look at all the events we've had there.
Yeah. Amazing.
And the most, I mean.
Would the World Figure Skating Championships have been in London if we had a 4,000 seat rink? Probably not.
Nor the Briar, nor the.
Would Pearl Jam have come?
Probably not. Probably not.
Would Shania Twain?
No.
What about Cher? First act there.
Yeah. Elton John.
Elton John. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a long list. Yeah.
Clearly, we're big fans of concerts there.
Brian Ohl told me on this past week that the holy grail for them is still Bruce Springsteen.
Yes.
And they're still pushing for it. So
yeah, the Eagles.
The Eagles. Can happen for Craig.
The Eagles were mine. Yeah. I kept saying to Brian, can we get the Eagles? Can we get the Eagles? I'll fill the stands.
We got to wrap up this edition of the Friday Roundtable. Thank you very much to Jesse and to Shobita and to Cheryl for doing the show this week, which is, of course, brought to you by Lexus of London, Lifestyle with a Drive. You know Lexus is patiently waiting at Lexus of London. You can get luxury redefined in your Lexus. What you can find at 1065 Warncliffe Road South and online at lexusoflondon.com. More of the Craig Needles podcast next week, which you can find at classicrock981.com and londonnewstoday.ca.
The Craig Needles podcast is a presentation of the Blackburn Media Podcast Network.